Common Knowledge Podcast. Just a man doing the best he can with what he got. And it's been 2 weeks since Vladimir Putin decided to start a war. And honestly, it's been kind of disturbing to watch this whole thing for me. It's just been hard to watch. Initially, 2 weeks ago, the Ukrainian people was giving Russia a fight. They was giving regular people AKs, and it seemed like the regular people was ready to give that ba-da-da-da-da to the Russian army. They were ready. Like, you saw grandmas confronting the Russian army. We all seen that whole video when the Russian tank stopped and they was throwing Molotov cocktails. They came in with a lot of heart, a lot of spirit, and seemingly Russia wasn't expecting that. They thought this was going to be like a 3-day romp and they was going to decimate Ukraine in a short order of time, but the Ukrainian people fought back. And everybody was so happy and galvanized about it. And I kept quiet because the truth of the matter is we love David and Goliath stories. But 99% of the time, Goliath wins. And that's just the truth of the matter. 99% of the time, Goliath wins. And that's why it was hard for me to watch this, man. Because the way it's being consumed is weird to me. It's super weird. It's like people are consuming this war like a reality TV show. And I find that kind of disturbing because there are so many working parts to this war. Like, intentionally, I have been quiet. On my last podcast, I had my good friend Lily Milnick come and express her opinions because she's Ukrainian. And I was listening and soaking up information from her. I've also been doing research and studying the history. But I didn't reply. Like, I got a lot of replies on my last podcast and people giving their opinions. And in part, I stayed quiet because more than one thing can be true. You have a right to have your opinion. And honestly, I don't know what the hell is going on. And if you're honest with yourself, a lot of y'all don't know what the hell is going on, especially from a Western perspective. Like, we don't really look at history through the lens of, like, your Asian people. We don't know how, like, Vladimir Putin sees the world per his side of town versus our side of town. We just basically look at things through a Western lens. So on the macro level, we all can agree, yo, war is bad. He should not have invaded Ukraine. But we don't know all the subtle little intricacies that led to this. This weekend, I was with my homies filming another show we do on YouTube. And one of my homies, Jet, was like, yo, they having a protest. I'm like, oh, what kind of protest they having in Shinjuku? Now, keep in mind, I stay in Japan, right? I'm in Japan. And he's like, yeah, they're having a protest in Shinjuku. I'm like, oh, what kind of protest they doing? Oh, they're having a protest against the war in Ukraine. I'm like, what? Wait, you're having a protest against war in Ukraine? In Japan. And that was the weirdest thing for me ever. How are you protesting a war in Japan for Ukraine? It's not making that much sense to me. So the question I have to ask myself is, and to anybody listening to the sound of my voice, are you just being performative? Or are you actually trying to help? What are you actually doing to support Ukraine or your position versus just being performative and just showing out and making yourself feel better? Because I think a lot of this that we're doing is just to make ourselves feel better and make us feel like we're doing something when in actuality, we're not doing really nothing because it ain't much we can do or willing to do. So you having a protest in Shinjuku against the war. Yeah, that'll show war. That'll put war in its place. And it's not just Shinjuku. It's places like Germany where some Russian students have been protesting the war in Ukraine. They walked around with Ukrainian flags. And they said, yo, this is the least we could do over here in Berlin to show that we're against the war. But the flip side of that, too, is you got people in Serbia who are actually pro-Putin invading Serbia. We're having protests, too. And that's the flip side of it. Like, yo, there are also people who rocking with Putin's decision, and they also have the right to protest too. But my whole thing with looking at this protest is from Japan, Serbia, or Germany, what do you have to lose? And let's just be honest, man, you got Russians in Russia protesting the Putin-led government, and them folks got a lot to lose. Like, you got reports, some of these folks being tortured in prison. Man, some odd thousand people getting arrested. They are risking it all. Because once again, you got to look at this like, yo, Putin pretty much runs everything in Russia. Right? So the people standing up to Putin in Russia? Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, that has a lot more weight than us protesting here in Japan. Because them folks got a lot to lose. And there's something to be said about standing in solidarity with people. Like, I guess, thoughts and prayers, kind of, sort of. But the thoughts and prayers are only going to go so far. What Ukraine needs now is bodies. They need some people to go help fight that war. They need a no-fly zone, which pretty much is impossible from a Western standpoint unless you want to start World War III. What they need is money. That's what they really need. And once again, I guess it's okay for you to protest to say, yo, look, I don't like this. But let's just all acknowledge that it's really for us, not the Ukrainian people. That's for us to feel better because we feel like it's hopeless. There's nothing we can do. And I don't know if that's the right approach. I really don't. Unless your protest is going to like raise money, raise funds to give to the Ukrainian government. Aight, man, you protested. I don't get what it's going to do. Like, take the protest in Shinjuku. They had like bands out there singing. All right, that's cool. You're singing. Did the bands get paid for that? And if the bands didn't get paid for that, where did the money go? You got a big protest out there in Shinjuku in an open space. Pretty sure there's vendors out there selling refreshments. Did the money from the refreshments go to the Ukrainian government to help the Ukrainian people? Or was it just another way to hang out? The word protest has been watered down so damn much, man. Like, And I know y'all finna say, yo, DJ L. Spade, didn't you do the Black Lives Matter protest in Japan? And you're right, I did. I marched in a Black Lives Matter protest here in Japan. But this is why the Black Lives Matter protest is different from somebody in Japan protesting the war in Ukraine. I'm Black everywhere I go. And there's a universal mistreatment of Black people around the world. You not see what they doing to those Black people in Ukraine right now and denying them to get on the train and trying to give them AKs to go fight? Like, dead ass. There's a bunch of Nigerian refugees who went to Ukraine for school and business opportunities. When it was time to leave, they was denied access to the train, man. In the middle of a war zone, man. That ism popped up. One Black man was trying to take his family on a train in Ukraine. They stopped him and said, no, Ukrainians only. And then they said, we're going to give you an AK and you're going to help us fight the Russians. Yeah. Told the Nigerian man, like, yo, nah, we think you use the AK, man. You finna help us fight the Russians. That's some of the dumbest, most nonsensical shit ever. And I had this argument with somebody, not to veer off too much, but I had this argument with a white friend of mine, and his position was, well, see, that's the problem, man. The Nigerians came there, and now since something's bad is happening, why don't they want to help Ukraine? They should help Ukraine. And I was like, bruh, that's the dumbest shit ever. Think about it. You and me are in Japan right now. We're both in Japan. Let's just say North Korea decides to start a war with Japan right now. Do you really think that your American ass is going to get drafted to go into the Japanese army with an AK and help them fight the North Koreans? Do you think that is expected of you? Would you do that? Or would you not hop your ass on a plane and go back to America until they figure that shit out between themselves? Because one thing in Japan that I do is I pay taxes. Every time I buy food, I pay taxes. Woo! I pay taxes every damn year. I can show you my tax return. I pay for healthcare. And unless you're telling me that those Nigerian immigrants weren't paying any taxes, You pretty much got to shut the hell up. But that's what I was protesting for. The universal mistreatment of black people that follows me all around the world. This war, not really following you all around the world, right? So me protesting in Japan was in solidarity with black folks all around the world, because once again, the contrast of black and white come from a Western racist society construct. But that, the way people see black people in Western society leaks over into Asian society in Japan. Like, there's been times where Japanese people will look at CSI or some other crime special and see a black person doing thuggish bad stuff and assume that's all of us. I'm like, no, that is not. So me protesting in Japan is actually protesting against the treatment I have in Japan, because I've had a bunch of racist situations happen to me in Japan. Now, is it the same level of racism in America? No, it's not. It's levels to this shit. But I have been stopped periodically because I have dreads to be checked for drugs. I'm like, yo, why am I being checked? Oh, because you're black. Like, literally been told, because you're black. You look like drugs. You look suspicious. So what I'm saying is I have something on the line here in Japan. Like, the thing about a protest is I feel like if you're protesting, you got to be risking something. A protest is just performative if you're not risking anything. In Japan, what am I doing? I'm risking, yo, the treatment from the police who see me out there protesting. Like, you had some people hiding their face when they was protesting at the Black Lives Matter rally in Shinjuku. People who didn't want their pictures in the newspaper. Me and my squad was like, yeah, nah, man. Film us. Yo, here go my statement. When some newspapers came to me and asked me for a statement, like, here it is, bro. This is my statement. When they asked if they use my paper for, I'm sorry, when they asked if they use my picture for a newspaper, I'm like, yep, put me out there. Me and everybody in my squad was like, yeah, do that. Here's my name connected to this protest. We had something to lose, man. What do you have to lose protesting the war in Ukraine from Japan? What do you have to lose? You can do vigils, you can stand in solidarity, but the word protest is killing me because you're not really losing anything. And by definition, yes, you can do a protest and you can stand in solidarity and it can be called a protest. This is just my personal opinion. And if y'all want to protest, cool, keep on doing that. I'm not knocking you. I'm just saying, from my perspective, it's all been watered down to basically us getting together and hanging out and not trying to find a solution to the problem. And the problem right now is you got a madman invading Ukraine and us standing around drinking alcohol, listening to bands. I don't know if that's the best way to be productive during this time. But hey, man, if that's what makes you feel better, go for it. I'm just saying, man, by nature, protesters have to be performative. But if you ain't got nothing to risk, you're just performing.
Yo, Marcus L. Spade Johnson here, also known by DJ L. Spade. And I got a new album coming out November 16th. L. Spade of 2. And I will be ecstatic if you guys go stream that or buy it. Blessings. November 16th, L. Spade of 2.
Yo, as I look on my Facebook timeline, apparently the most pressing and urgent matter in America is them damn gas prices. Hey, ooh. Man, I saw them gas prices look on average now, $5 a gallon? Damn! I saw in some places in California, man, they had them prices up to $8 a gallon. My bruh, busting folks' head for that petrol, bruh. $8 a gallon? Man, I ain't going nowhere for $8 a gallon. Hey, yo, a point of privilege right now, I live in Japan, and I don't have a car here in Japan. Because look, man, having a car in Japan is pretty much a flex. Because there's no real need to have it. Public transportation is pretty much always on time here. The trains are pretty efficient here. So there's really no need to have a car unless you just want to flex. You know? But damn, dog, $8 a gallon, even $4 a gallon, that is a lot. However, This is how old I am. I remember a time like this before. When gas prices was high. You Gen Z guys probably don't remember this, but yes, this ain't the first time that gas was this high. It happened in the past in olden days, right? But now we get a chance to do what all Americans do during times of high petrol prices. We get to blame the president, baby. That's right. It's always the president's fault, baby. No matter what, we all can agree it's the damn president's fault that gas prices are high. Doesn't matter who's in office, it's always the president's damn fault. When the truth of the matter is, it ain't really the president's fault. It ain't. Like, it's not really the president's fault gas is this damn high. And I find this hilarious, though, because as so-called capitalists, we believe that the market dictates prices for everything. But not with gas. That's all the president's fault. Mm-mm. Nah. No. It's not market-driven when it comes to oil. Oil? Nope, nope. The president got some kind of magic wand. He can come in and be like, yo, uh-uh. Oil prices. Lower. The president got all the control over there. Seriously. So let's just dive into this, man. Like, seriously, because everybody likes to blame the current president, which is only kind of partly true. So let's just read a few news reports and find out why these oil prices are so high. So let's go to CNN Business. Why are gas prices soaring when Americans barely use Russian oil? Which is a good question, right? Because one of the main producers of oil on the world stage is Russia. And of course, we have Russian sanctions, and America has decided to stop buying Russian oil, which I'm not going to lie. If you're in support for the Ukrainian people and you're against Vladimir Putin, then the best way to actually show that support is not to buy Russian oil. Because if you're going to say you're in support with the Ukrainian people and you're going to condemn what Vladimir Putin did, then you're going to have to stop taking in that oil, because the only way Putin, with all these heinous sanctions we put on, the only way Putin can actually fund this war is through oil, right? And this is one thing Putin really threw a monkey wrench in the world system, right? We thought if we had a global economy where all these economies were connected to each other, like, yeah, we buy stuff from here, we buy stuff from here, we all need each other, that would cut down on the risk of war, because all these economies are so, like, interwoven to each other's success, right? But then you got, like, a wild card, a maverick like Putin, who'd be like, you know what? Fuck it. I don't care, right? I want to do this crazy thing over here. And it throws the whole world economy in a monkey wrench. Now everybody got to, like, find new ways to get oil. But once again, America really didn't buy that much Russian oil. So why are those sanctions hurting us? Well, let's dive into it. And the short answer is COVID. Yep. The oil industry, just like every other industry during COVID, the demand for oil went down. So they had to let staffers go. A lot of companies, man, like these refineries, they're independently owned. And they couldn't refine this oil, man, because there wasn't no demand for it. Like, a lot of them had to let people go. If not, they was going to go bankrupt. They had to restructure, bro. COVID. Like, yo, during a whole 2 years of people just staying at home, you know, gas prices went down because there wasn't no demand for it, man. Once again, as capitalists, this is how it's supposed to work. When demand goes down, the price goes down, right? Now demand's going up. And it's a scarcity in the market. So, yo, it's going to be high prices until we get more oil pumped out. So then the next question becomes, like, why can't we get more oil pumped out? And why don't we start pumping out more oil domestically in the United States of America? And, yo, here's the dirty little secret, man. The oil and gas industry already has plenty of land and ocean it can be using, man. Yo. Per the AmericanProgress.org, the oil industry can decide to produce more oil whenever it wants. In fact, the oil industry already possesses over 9,000 approved but unused drilling permits on federal lands. Nearly 5,000 of those permits were approved in 2021 alone, the highest figure since the second Bush administration. These folks can drill whenever they want to, dude. We already got enough land for these folks to start drilling. Which leads to the next thing. Well, why aren't they drilling? Well, you know, the industry CEOs are profiting hand over fist while average families suffer. It's all about money, bruh. Like, right now. All right, and a little disclosure. I own some stocks. And I do some option trading, you know, part-time. And look, I'm not going to lie. In the last 2 weeks, the options that got me the most money on premium or oil stocks, yo. Last week, that ExxonMobil and Chevron stock went gangbusters, bro. Like, the industry has been suffering for so damn long and not making any money. These folks about to get this money back, bro. Like, they're finna get all the money they can and short squeeze the hell out of this demand for oil, bro. Like, yo, it's the stock owners, man. People like me who trying to make money off these damn energy stocks is why you're not going to get a lot of oil pumped out right now. Because, yo, these are for-profit businesses, dude. Once again, as capitalists, dog, we're going to squeeze that money. We're going to squeeze that money. And one of the last reasons why, like, oil is always going to be high, and it's high right now, a lot of folks going electric, man. Like, renewables are kind of winning the game right now. As we start taking climate change more seriously and we're trying to look at ways to keep Mother Earth alive for our kids, which, not to veer off too much, but that's always a weird one, right? I hear people always talk about we're mortgaging our children's future when we talk about money, but we never talk about that when it comes to, like, the place they got to live, right? I mean, climate has been changing drastically for the last 15 years. Temperatures have gotten hotter. You got a lot of the ice caps melting, icebergs melting, sea levels rising, unprecedented amount of hurricanes and destruction. But nope, when it comes to, like, thinking about our children's future, we only think about money, not, like, actually where they're going to live. I think people have this weird notion that Jeff Bezos is going to think of some kind of rocket ship to take all the willing and worthy people to another planet while leaving this earth to decay. Anyway, I'm not going to get into that. But electric cars, man. Electric cars. People are really buying more renewable sources of energy. And because of that reason, man, gas prices are going to stay up, right? Until the industry flips over into something else. But look, man, you ain't got to take my word for it. Blaming the president is something that we all have the right to do. And if you want to blame Joe Biden for these high gas prices, man, cool. Go for it. I'm actually totally with it, man, but whatever. Maybe everybody should start walking more. Just saying. Yo, if you like the Common Knowledge Podcast, check out the Random Show hosted with me and the homie, Alex Lex Caliber Hunter. On the Random Show, we talk about random shit. Follow us on Instagram at random. That's RANDUMB. Random.
Hey. What's going on?
Pump bitch.
They should do an adult version of Fat Albert. For Netflix is doing adult cartoons these days. They should do a black ass Fat Albert.
I keep my Jimmy lick 3 times a day.
If you ain't licking, bitch, get to Stephen.
I'll stick my digger in your mouth.
They call me a man, Mandingo.
Damn, Fat Albert. Anyway.
Yeah, bitch.
Did y'all know? Southwest is hilarious. Yeah, bitch, I get my Jimmy lick 3 times a day. Ain't nobody called a nigga Jimmy in a long time.
Make sure you pack a gym hat.
Oh, the Jimmy hat, man. Yo, what happened to Jimmy, dog? Nobody uses it no more. I'm going to bring that shit back.
Maybe just because it doesn't sound big. Maybe that's why. So they like to say shit like my log, my pipe.
I'm bringing it back, dog.
My Jimmy.
Hoes on my Jimmy, yo.
Hoes on my Jimmy.
Got him, Jimmy.
Got him squeaking like crickets.
Hoes on my Jimmy. Watch him shimmy.
Shimmy on my Jimmy.
Shimmy on my Jimmy. Oh!
That's the single.
Shimmy on my Jimmy. Yo. Going platinum this spring.
Shimmy. I mean, this day and age, yeah.
I mean, why not?
Shimmy on my Jimmy.
Shimmy. You know what? You say this day and age. That shows your elitism. You think the rap of your time is better than all other rap? However, I will say the 90s was the golden era of rap, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah. Like, that's your narcissism picking up.
That's not narcissism. I think it's something else. It could be bias, but...
Bias and nostalgia.
I think the popular hip-hop of today is lyrically not as skillfully written as the popular hip-hop from the golden era.
I disagree, though. I totally disagree. Like, you got
you
some...
say you don't or you do disagree?
I totally disagree.
Uh-huh.
You got some great lyrics out
I
here,
said,
man.
Generally speaking. I'm not talking 100%.
I don't know,
generally
man.
Speaking.
We got some damn good, like, rappers now.
I mean, Migos, they make slappers, okay, but lyrically...
You talking about mainstream people?
That's what I'm saying, the popular mainstream
stuff. I
mean,
you got people like, man, Chris Webby, Wiki... Planet Asia doesn't really count because he's old. Kendrick Lamar.
Yep.
Schoolboy
yep.
Q. Royce is still a contemporary guy. He's older, but he's still contemporary in his time.
Yeah. Logic, J. Cole.
Yeah, Logic.
What's the
solid.
Dude who did ADHD?
J. Cole, not really much, but that was, Jordan Lucas. He's lyrically
yeah,
solid.
Yeah, he's good. He's good.
Man, Z Loopers is actually pretty damn good.
I think it's coming back. In the past few years, it's really coming back.
I don't think it never left, man.
It didn't leave, but I mean, coming back to the forefront.
I see. This goes back to my argument I always make about like rap has always been good. It's just you get more whack rap now because anybody can make it now at their home. It got so damn cheap to produce music.
Mm-hmm.
So like now, only thing you literally need is a laptop.
Yeah,
you get you a MacBook. It comes with GarageBand.
Yeah,
only thing you need is a microphone. It comes with Apple Loops. You can make your own damn song. Not gonna say it's good, but you can make one and have like, that bitch out tomorrow.
A lot of the stuff I hear in public spaces, whether it's if I don't go to the clubs, but like if I walk past a bar or a clothing shop, whatever, it's usually like skirt. Like that's the kind of like when I say the general popular hip hop is it, and that music generally isn't very lyrically
dense. No, it's not.
Sound.
It's not, but it's not conducive having lyrically dense music or think piece in a public space. I mean, that's why it's kind of club.
I think there's a happy medium you can find.
I mean, there is. I mean, like
I would love to hear some Freddie Gibbs.
Freddie Gibbs.
I walk past a clothing store.
Yeah, he's a club.
They're playing some Freddie Gibbs. I might just walk in on the strength of Freddie Gibbs.
That's actually a good point.
Yeah.
I kind of would walk in.
But when I hear like the
I think that's more.
Then I'm
like,
I'm not gonna fuck with this store because
they're trying
this
too hard,
some booty.
Especially in Japan. Like, if I hear that, I'm like, you're trying too hard.
Oh, bye, bitch.
Like, you're really trying too hard. Like, once again, I think that's a factor of my age too. Though I'm getting to the old curmudgeon age myself. I'm And I'm a pretty known rapper. I can say that, man, because I got an ecosystem of 3,000 monthly listeners on Spotify.
That's known.
I'm kind of a known rapper, right? Yeah. So I'm not shitting on
somebody.
Any other rappers, but. You know, it's one of those things, like, there are some good rappers out here. It's just
indeed
easier for you whack motherfuckers to put out your music, I'm not mad at you.
Yeah, I mean, get your money. I'm not gonna hate on somebody for getting money, especially somebody who comes from a poor situation. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, oh, man, they sold out. They making music just to make money. It's like, okay, well, you know, where do they come from?
The sellout thing is so odd to me, man, because everybody sells out.
I think that's kind of that whole people... get jealous and hate over success.
Yeah, what is selling out? It's like, you sell out every day you go to work, right?
I mean, hey, man, that's why real gangsters don't get 9-to-5s.
You know, I think we all selling out to a point, is my thing. I think the line of selling out is really based on your morals and how far you can go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I've always looked at the selling out thing. It's a weird thing. I'm not selling out. All right, cool.
Yeah.
Somebody do it. Because, I mean, on the acting line, it's some roles I've turned down. Like, man, I don't feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah.
But somebody else took that money. It's like, all right, cool.
Hey, man, you know, good kudos to you.
That was totally random, by the way.
That was very random. It was supposed to be a Pimp versus Sippin'.
Pimp versus my Jimmy. I tell you.